This is the BBC Home Service. If audiences at home and in the studio would bow ever so slightly, it would be appreciated. Now, take your partners for the Omar Khayyam Show.
Ta-da!
And now, folks, it's question time in Merry London. This week, Auntie Milligan will answer harrowing questions with harrowing answers.
Correct. Can we have the first harrower, please?
My name is Bob Todd.
We can still be friends.
Yes.
There's friends in here, I think.
Is it true that bad eyesight can cause loss of normally healthy teeth?
Yes, it is, as this London dentist, very badly played by Tim Gudgeon of Music Box, will testify. Go on, his first acting part. Go on, Tim.
Thank you so much. Indeed, bad eyesight can cause serious losses. For instance, a lady came to me suffering from severe toothache the other day. 8 perfectly good teeth had to be removed before it stopped. This would never have happened if I'd had good eyesight.
Now then, next question, please.
Blue eyes of Lewisham.
Darling. Get the right haircut, please. Start again, go on.
Blue eyes of Lewisham. I'm a middle-aged woman.
Well, give it up. There's no future in it, mate.
I have a problem.
I can see that.
Please help me solve it. For 3 years now, my son has been at the bottom of his class.
At the bottom of his class? Don't worry, folks. They teach the same at both ends. Hey!
But he's so backward.
Well, bend him forward. Hey, it fills in the time, folks. Now then, next question, please.
From Bald of Islington. What is a good cure for baldness?
Hair. Hey, up there. But don't lose heart or liver. Try Dr. Splont's hair elixir. Listen to what satisfied client of Catford SE5 says.
4 years, I suffered with a dreaded baldness. Then Dr. Splont's came into my life. He said his elixir was so good that it would grow hair on a boiled egg. Now every morning I have a hairy egg for breakfast.
Well done. Next tweet, please.
It's from Dissatisfied of Highgate. Last summer...
That was 5 years ago.
Last summer, I saw an advertisement outside Paddington Station.
I see.
It said, buy a ticket to Epping Forest and smell the scent of the pine trees.
Well, go on, then.
Well, I bought a ticket. I have been sniffing it all day.
Better say the end.
But, yes, I'll say the end bit. But I can't smell any pines.
Next time, don't buy a ticket. Buy a tree. Hey! Thank you, lad. Just stand in that shallow grave and wait for the next death. Now, what have we got here? Ah, it's John Bluthal with his fine outdoor body and indoor head.
I was a great, great actor in my day.
I couldn't have been in town that day. But stand by, Bluthal.
I'm standing by, my
friend. Beside himself.
Yes.
I have a feeling that the show is about to start. There it goes now. Tim, take the wheel and follow that narrative.
In 1743, when Captain Cook landed in Australia, he founded Sydney and called it Melbourne after his friend Captain Phillips of Hobart. It is in this setting that we tell a tale of the great unemptied dustbins of Australia.
Now, be a stink about this.
At first, second and third, no one noticed it. Then one word from the Prime Minister told all.
Ooh. Next. A lonely sheep farmer had reason to complain.
One day, me and me missus gets a letter from some friends.
Dear Bob and Nadia, that's us. No offence, mark you, but when the wind's in our direction, we just can't stand the nip of your dustbins.
Well, I didn't think they smelt that bad.
They must do. This letter's from New Zealand.
Well, I'll get our MP to bring the matter up at the next sitting in the Senate. That's what I'll do.
Mr. Speaker, I have here several letters, 3 postcards and 10 parcels of rubbish from angry outback farmers.
Could you read us one of the parcels?
Yeah, go on, read one.
As you wish. Dear sir. Signed, Sandy McNabbs. He says dustbins in the outback haven't been emptied since Captain Cook died.
Oh, he's dead, is he, eh?
Yeah, that's right, Sport. I heard that the rubbish is nearly 7,000 feet 1 inch high.
1 inch high?
Yes, it's so big the Chinese want to colonize it.
Well, that's...
Sounds as if this is a serious situation. What do you say, madam?
I say it's a seriously serious situation.
Correct. You win a free weekend with an insane gorilla in a locked cupboard. And as a second prize, you get some Indian root pills.
Good luck to you. Gentlemen, I have an idea, as this stinks bubble above my head will prove. The shortage of medical services gave birth to the flying doctor. This rubbish crisis could lead to...
You mean...
Yes, the flying dustman!
Stop! Before we launch into this story, George Chisholm and his black and tan minstrels will play the overture on lightly boiled sackbuts and little green trumpets.
Malone, call me by phone. A number 1, 2, 3, 4. Single, don't forget the number. Let's just lumber. Open your eyes. Oh, when you arise, I hear all that blarney. Has anyone seen Connie from Killarney? Colleen's are a few. Oh, there's none like you. In the old town of Athlone, Mishawara, Wara, 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 all there and tile. With an order making me smile without a Nora Malone. There's a spot in me heart for the Emerald Isle. The top of the morning to Mother Machree. The pale moon was shining on Paddy McGinty. A drop of the heart stuff for young Pat McGee. A kiss on the brow for Mrs. O'Flaherty. A love and caress the sweet Molly Malone. A punch up the ear hole for old Patrick Murphy, because he won't leave me sister alone. Has anyone heard tell of Donald McCafferty? A handful of shamrocks for Tommy O'Rafferty. Short back in sights for Mrs. O'Flaherty. And Kevin O'Connor's a broth of a boy. So, folks, if you ever come across the Sea to Ireland, I'll treat you decent. I'll buy you all the food you want, all the drinks you can drink. Then I'll bash your flipping head in with my shillelagh.
Tennessee tootles the flute, the music is simply grand. A credit to old Ireland, it's McNamara's band.
It was George Chisholm, whose family motto is, "I swear I'm not the father of that child." What's this? Now then, the Flying Dustman part...
And so the Australian government advertised for trainees. Wanted, ex-Air Force pilots to train as flying dustmen. That, or ex-dustmen to train as flying pilots. Qualifications, strong sense of duty...
but no sense of smell. Must be under 6 foot.
I'm under 6 foot. I'll dig myself out on the floor.
The voice came from a hairy twit. wearing a tombstone and an appliance. Who are you?
Shall we say a mysterious stranger?
And so, a mysterious stranger applied for the job.
Knockety-knock, knock, knock.
Who is that?
Short man can't reach the knocker.
They're slow on the right. Okay, right, they finished.
Hello.
Before me stood a ragged idiot wrapped in coal sacks, secured with fish bones and held together with egg stains. Around his head was wrapped a handmade iron trilby with room for three standing on top. Around his waist was a clothesline hung with 50 pairs of underpants.
Be prepared, that's what I say.
Are you mad?
No, but that's what I say.
I see. Mr. Tooley, take down this fellow's details.
Certainly, sir. Now, what is your name?
I got that on a bit of paper here somewhere. Oh, they are Australian Eccles of nothing fame.
I see. When were you born?
Thursday.
Which Thursday?
I mean, there's more than one.
I have it on good authority that are nigh on 50 Thursdays in a year.
Well, it was one of them. I want to be a flying Dutchman. Oh, you want to be a flying Dutchman?
I see. Can you fly?
Fly? I've only just learned to walk.
just learned to... Oh, I can't stand any more of you.
Don't worry, there's a dragon. Steady now. Did something like that?
So the recruits rolled in. Within the month, the first class of trainees were under instruction.
Z, W, X, Y, and then?
Z?
Z, good, correct. You can have your catapult back at playtime. And now we have all mastered the alphabet. We go on to the third year. Now all pay attention. This thing here with the long wings and a propeller is an aeroplane. Good. Now, this thing here is a dustbin. Now, does anyone here think they can remember that?
I'll try.
Good. Come forward.
Now, this is a dustbin, and this is an aeroplane.
No, but you're getting warm.
Am I?
Try again.
I better take my vest off. You killed that one. Anyhow.
Right, try again.
This is an aeroplane.
Sure.
And this is a dustbin.
Oh, good. And after only two tries. Anyone else like to?
I'll try, Professor. You never know, I might do it in one. Now, this is an aeroplane.
Correct.
See, and this is a dustbin. Oh,
no. That is Eccles.
Remember,
he is the one with the hat on.
And so the great flying dustman enterprise forged ahead. They also forged legs, teeth, and knees.
A great inauguration ceremony was inaugurated on the steps of the town hall in Sydney Square, where another Sydney Square, namely the Lord Mayor, and his wife stood in silver presentation dustbins and sang the anthem of the flying dustman.
When you're feeling low down and you can't find romance, jump into a dustbin and dance. When your friends forsake you, don't go into a trance. Jump into a dustbin and run. Throw out all that rubbish, show them you don't care. When they come to empty it, it won't be there. So, when you've got no trousers and ragged underpants, jump into a dustbin and run. I told you they're like rubbish.
And as I speak, the planes of the Royal Air Force swoop low over the mayor and release 300 weight of ceremonial rubbish over the crowd.
Oh,
By the spring, the first Royal Flying Dustmen were operational. Their base was Mascot Airport. Early one morning, they got their first call.
Clobber. Here, what are you doing in my trousers?
Setting fire to our socks, we set off hot foot for Mascot Aerodrome.
Mascot? I'd better write that down. How do you spell it?
M-A-S.
How do you make an S?
Like a snake.
Okay.
And then C.
What's the C like?
It's pretty cold at this time of year.
Oh, that's a good joke. Here. John Bluto, come here.
Yes, what?
I'll get him pushed. Watch this. Oh, a new spell, Mascot?
Yes. M-A-S-K-O-T. Why?
Because it's pretty cold at this time of the year. Wait a minute, something's gone wrong. Taxi!
Hello, you call a cab?
Oh.
Where are you?
Underneath your twit. Here, can you spell Mascot?
Yeah, why?
Because it's pretty cold at this time of the year. I'll get it right soon. I'll get it.
Are you mad?
No, but that's what I say.
Within the hour, the desperate dustbins at the sheep station had been collected, and the plane headed out over the Pacific.
Stand by to ditch the rubbish.
Okay.
Let me throw the first dustbin out. I promised my mother.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Whoop.
Well, how was that, Eccles? Eccles. I must remember he's the one with the hat on.
Now, with the aid of a long microphone cord, we join the luckless Eccles as he hurtles downwards, gathering speed. He doesn't seem to be enjoying it.
Oh, who invented the law of gravity?
Isaac Newton!
I'll get him for it!
Far below, on a solid silver yacht, Greek ship owner Spiral Staircase is smoking a cork-tipped £1,000 note and patting a thoroughbred gold bar. Suddenly, he is struck by a 15-carat idiot at 500 miles per hour.
Hey, where did you come from?
I've just been thrown out of that airplane.
Makes a good sense to me. You hurt?
Nope.
Like to jump again?
Here, how do you spell Mascot?
Get off my ship, you ragged twit.
I can't swim.
Even better. Get off.
Can't we talk this over, my good man? Talk it over tomorrow.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Today.
Today.
Tomorrow.
Okay, then tomorrow.
You see that shark-infested sea?
I know a joke about it.
I want you to dive in and see if it's colder than the sea in Mascot.
You think I'm mad?
That's what they're saying.
You swine, Eccles! You'll pay for this!
No, I won't. I did it for nothing. Any last request?
Yes, for all the boys in hut number 3. I want Bill Kerr to sing Who Put the I in the AIS?
Put the I in the AIF. Come on, boys, let's go. Put away your civvies till the day that you get back. Learn to use a rifle, you'll soon get the knack. All the girls will love you in your khaki suits, the old slouched hat and the big army boots. It's a grand job, it's a man's job. You'll help to pull your country through. So, who put the I in the AIF? Did you, or you? Thank you. Come on, boys, let's go. Put away your civvies till the day that you get back. Learn to use a rifle, you'll soon get the knack. All the girls will love you in your khaki suit, the old slouched hat and the big army boot. It's a grand job, it's a man's job. You'll help to pull your country through. So who put the I in the AIS?
That was Bill Kerr, known in Australia as You'll Have to Marry Her.
There's some into my dummy.
Right, now then.
Who's that?
Now then, The Flying Dustman Part 3. Any questions? No? Off we go!
Smoothly and inefficiently, the Flying Dustman service was soon the talk of Australia.
Say, have you heard about them fellows up there? Then came the first blow. Oh! Right in the crin.
At midnight, the Prime Minister of Australia was dragged from his bed.
Who are you?
I wish to talk with you about the Flying Dustman service.
That's what he wants to talk to you about, you see.
I keep this fellow for hitting. Wait! Oh! Now, where do you dump your rubbish?
Well, in the Pacific Ocean. It's a grand sight. The fishbones drifting down with the sun behind them.
What a terrible waste of the good rubbish.
Eh?
Do you realize that there are many impoverished countries who not only can't afford H-bombs.
That's right. They can't afford H-bombs.
Whack! Oh! But they also can't afford rubbish.
That is even more true.
It won't. Whack!
Oh!
Week in, week out, while their rich neighbors have got their dustbins full, the poor peoples are empty.
What? Say that again.
I'm saying that the poor people's dustbins are empty.
I don't think he does. When you are saying that the rubbish is empty, you said it was empty. If you're open and see it, you look inside. It's empty on the outside as well.
All right.
I give you the point.
Right.
Go on
with
your story.
There was.
You haven't hit me.
People see them poor people walking on the street and they say.
You haven't hit me.
Whack! Oh! This isn't going to make much sense now, but I'm carrying on. People see them walking down the street and they say, there she goes, or here she comes, whichever way she's going.
Yes.
This is her third week without rubbish in the bin.
Good heavens, I never realized that. I'm terribly sorry.
I'm so glad. You must face the quinsequences.
What are the quinsequences?
The quinsequences. As from tomorrow, we must...
Tomorrow morning.
You must... As from tomorrow morning, you must have all your rubbish neatly parceled up and sent to the impoverished nations of the world. And I am damn glad that we...
As soon as the news got around the stock exchange, Australian rubbish rose 6 shillings and was quoted at £3 per fine stinking ounce. But the worst was yet to come.
Gentlemen, Japanese starting to flood the market with cheap plastic rubbish in several delightful colors, namely green.
They won't get away with it.
But they are getting away with it. They also have handsome imitation vinyl flies. And when you take the lid off it, please God save the key.
This will ruin the Australian rubbish trade.
Can you elaborate on that?
You can do what you like on it, mate.
Immediately, the Prime Minister put up a tariff wall. But by standing on each other's shoulders, the Japs managed to get over it. Worse still, England, our mother country, started to make antique rubbish in Georgian, Regency and Victorian style.
I've been for this lovely Victorian commode.
This was more than dust and bones could stand. Rather than go to war, we decided to humiliate England and Japan.
The task was left to Professor Oliphant, Australia's leading scientist and third in the breaststroke, who invented a machine.
Put on your leaf, you tell
them. Gentlemen, this machine here, this giant machine, will be towed off the shore of England and Japan.
Beauty, ultimate. You tell them, Ollie.
Good on you, cobbler. This is going to be one of those nights. This great gramophone horn you see mounted on a raft will be pointed in the direction of England and Japan, and then it will start blowing raspberries.
Could we see how it works,
Of course you can. Will you stand by the combustion chamber? and wobble the doodler.
Oh, wobble the doodler.
Raise wind volume and punch the squoggle nut with the squeen's mallet.
The squoggle nut and the squeen's mallet, right.
Switch on the... More power! More power! Here it comes!
Bad. The world has been waiting for this. The ideal Cold War weapon. With 100 of these mounted on tanks, we could out-raspberry the Russians. And not only that.
1 month later, a peacefully sleeping Eastbourne was aroused by a strange, devilish sound.
What was that?
It wasn't me, John.
What?
It's coming from out of the tree.
Oh. Quick. Oh. Oh. Quick, open the window. Where's my telescope?
Don't look, John. Don't look.
I can't.
Within a week, England, under the barrage of raspberries, capitulated, and Australian rubbish once again ruled the bins. What happened to the Japanese?
Please be law, not our table, not table.
Get it out, Thomas.
No, 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 not the table, not the table.
And that, folks, is how we turn the tables on the Japs. That's the payoff, folks. If you have a better one, send it to us on the back of a note. Thank you. Good night, folks.
Now, to finish, if you'll pardon me, here's my latest recording with vocal refrain.
And that was the Omar Khayyam Show, The Flying Dustman, first broadcast in 1964. It was written by Spike Milligan and starred Spike himself, along with Barry Humphreys, Bob Todd, John Bluthal, Bill Kerr, Tim Gudgeon and Alan Clare. And it was produced by Charles Chilton.